The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Forget Norway, they crucified Jesus Christ. I'll never forget Norway, they sold Marcus Garvey for rice. I'll never forget Norway, they turned their backs on Paul Bogle. Hey, hey, so don't you forget who you are and where you stand in the struggle. They got so much things to say. But I not come to fight flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high and low places. So while they fight you down, stand firm and give Jah thanks and praises. Cause I and I do expect to be justified by the laws of men, by the laws of men. Oh, you found me guilty, but prove my innocence. Oh, when the rain falls, all now people fall and one man's house stop. Remember that.
When the rain falls,
it won't fall on one man's house. Stop it singing.
So much the river, so very much. So much things to say.
They got so much things to say right now. Yeah, they got so much things to say.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Thank you for tuning in to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful, sunny Sunday here in the Bahamas. And while North America is still attempting to defrost, we are over here. Payday has just passed. Everybody got money in their pockets. The streets are full. The beaches are lively. And there's a lot of love going around here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. The show today, Remark, Garth Minard Rose Barrow, expecting some additional guests here today as we delve into the conversation about marital rape. Is it for protection or is it simply a deception? Protection or deception, marital rape. For those who are new to Remark, this is a program where you can take the time to call in and be a part of the conversation. I will be throwing those numbers out there today. I do have guests in studio today with me at this present time. We have none other than your familiar voice of Senator Reuben Ramming. Our co-host, Darvin Russell, he's off today. He's having a little bit of back pain. He sprained his back yesterday, so we pray for Mr. Darvin Russell that he recovers quickly. And Ms. Peggy Candace and Robin Lyons should be on their way. But until they do, and if they do, we will continue in the spirit of nation building. Reuben Ramming, you want to give a quick shout out to the people, and then I will hear from the lovely lady, Ms. Charlotte Green, and give a few minutes of introduction and let us know from where she comes. Go ahead, Mr. Reuben Ramming.
Oh, it's just good to be here with you again, Garth, on your show. And I like the diversity of your guests, and I'm excited about seeing what these two warrior princesses going to bring to the table. they are not limited in their expressions, but they're not hollow in their thinking and in their words. And so I think it's going to go a very long way. I feel like I have front seat NBA ticket kind of situation where I get to witness this at hand personally. It's good to be here. Blessings to your audience and blessings to the show, my brother.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, the whole idea here today, Senator, was that we have women from different backgrounds, different likes, different dislikes. It's amazing to me that we as a people, we only tend to gravitate to people who we like or people who are like us. We don't do well with people who have difference of opinions, difference of likings. Yet we speak about a Bahama land that is supposed to be moving forward, upward, and onward together. And so today we have a new guest to remark, and I just want to introduce you to whom I believe is the chair lady of the Coalition of Independence, one Miss Charlotte Green. And you may have heard her voice. She has a very strong voice, very strong positioning. This is not a political show today, but she does have a mind for nation building, and she is a female, and we must give more airtime and more respect to our females for so many years and decades. Women's voices have been silenced, and we have now reached the age of where we can now be accountable and transparent. And so we need to allow these women to step forward, especially when it comes to a topic like we're looking at today, which is that of marital rape. It can be a gender bias conversation. It can be a political conversation. It can be a social conversation. It can even be a religious conversation. But today, I want it to be a fair conversation. Not that we have to agree, but what we do have to agree on is that we have to love and respect each other. Ms. Charlotte Green, go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Put the mic up a little closer to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Yes. Rosborough.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to sit here with you this afternoon to discuss a very, very interesting topic.
Mm-hmm.
All voices should be heard in this matter as it affects us all, even men.
Even men.
Yes, even men. I don't have that much information on this, but based on my limited research when I was called to speak on this matter, and I had the opportunity to dig deeper, I was very taken back.
I can imagine.
I am excited, actually, to sit with the rest of the ladies to talk about this, have an open discussion, and to see the different thinking of persons, men and women, as it relates to this. Because at the end of the day, we all want results.
Yes.
We all want results. We don't just want conversations in the air and we can't find the solutions to the problem or the issue that is about to be addressed.
So I'm
excited to see Candace and Senator Robin Lines in studio so that we can have the open discussion, and I'm excited to hear from the callers on this matter.
Especially the callers.
Yes.
It's all about you, the Bahamian people, the callers, and so let me take time to give those numbers out to you. I'm going to ask Wally to get that song ready for me, One Drop by Bob Marley. You know, get a little Peak State music. And let me throw those numbers out to you. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from our family of islands, 300-5720. Or you can text us here at Remark at Guardian Radio. The number is 422-4796. Those numbers are available to you, the Bahamian people, those people listening from abroad. Feel free to dial in and be a part of this conversation. Marital rape, protection or deception, right here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. One Drop, Bob Marley, and we'll be right back.
Always on the go, miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Boy, why you look so mash up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No, boy. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Heed the call to action against abuse and violence, and for hope and healing. Join Women Walk 2025, Saturday, March 8th at 9 a.m., Clifford Park. Come, walk, pray, wear purple or white, stand up for a strong, healthy community. A free event, Saturday, March 8th at 9 a.m.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
You know that Remark will never, never, ever let you down. We're going to make this happen today. One drop right here at Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know, marital rape, and we got to start to delve into this quickly and look at what we are really, truly discussing. We can break it down into the two words separately and have a whole full discussion and discourse on this forevermore. But when we hear of marriage, Charlotte, I don't know if you were previously married like we were, and you're now single again, or you're remarried. What I had here today was I had a single lady, a lady that had been married and divorced, and I had a lady that was married, divorced, and happily remarried again. And they all had different positions in terms of what marital rape should be. When it comes to the idea of marriage, it makes a whole lot of people extremely nervous. Marriage in and of itself is supposed to be a lifelong commitment. When it comes to rape, this is a conversation that gets ugly real fast. And we want to stay as far away from even just the very sound of what that actually means. One of the more traumatizing things that occurred in my lifetime is that I've been a only child with my mother for 10 years before my younger brother showed up, you know. My birth in and of itself was mysterious. I knew who my father was. I knew he was a Baptist minister in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I never got a love story between my biological father and my mother. Never got that story. What I did get was a love story between my stepfather and my mother, who were boyfriend, girlfriend from Southern senior days, which is now the Columbus Primary School. Mm. My mother was an orphan. She, you know, her mother died when she was 6, and her only sister died when she was 16. And she lived with an uncle, and she felt neglected. She felt alone. She felt like a Cinderella. And she got an opportunity to go off to school in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And that was where my origin comes from, in that I was told by a relative a few years back that I was the product of that rape word, of rape. I've met my father when I was 7. I met him when I was 14 and 21. He doesn't appear to be a bad guy. Doesn't. You have good conversation with him. He's very intelligent. My mother's extremely intelligent. And I'll say this to you. My mother never once demonized my biological father. Never. Never. She actually encouraged me to find out who he was, what he was about, from whence that name and that family and blood came from. And then she encouraged me to be as great a man as I could possibly be. I am a favorite child of my mother. I have 2 brothers and 2 sisters after me with my stepfather. And I am treated as the kid with kid gloves. I'm special. I don't wear it. That's why I don't live where they live. I live in the Bahamas because I love the Bahamas. This is where I was born in 1969. I was born with the last name Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. That's my mother's maiden name, from Bessie Bay Meguana. But 2 years in age, my mother decided that, you know what, the boy needs to know where some of his blood comes from. And then I was adopted to the name Roseborough by way of affidavit. And so I wear the names proudly because my mother instilled in me that it isn't how you got here, it isn't who your parents are. What it really is that you need to find the inner strength within yourself to overcome and become all that you are purposed to be. I didn't say that to demean the whole conversation on rape. I'm not saying that rape is not an ugly thing. It's an extremely demonic and unwanted situation. But I'm simply saying to everyone that we all hate it. And for those of you who have been born because of it, for those of you who have been traumatized by it, I just wanted to say that to you, that I'm not speaking to you saying that I'm praying for you and I want to encourage you or comfort you. I'm saying I'm one of you. Yet, at the same time, my joy is full because of one word, which was forgiveness. Now, I'm not saying you have to forgive a rapist. I'm not saying that. No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying to you that as for me and my house, the love that my mother has, my stepfather says I'm the greatest child a man could ever have. My brothers love me. My sisters love me. My family loves me. And there are a whole lot of you who hate me. I'm certain there's a lot of you that hate me. I'm guaranteed of it because there are many days I feel as if the devil knew the purpose that I was born. And therefore, he comes in all various shapes and forms and genders and people. But you know what I understand? That love always wins. Mm-hmm. And so today I'm only praying and hoping Michelle Green, Reuben Ramming, I don't know where our other guests are. I know it's a church day, things happen. But I just want you to know that wherever you are, that this conversation today is going to be all about love. If love is not in the conversation of marital rape, I do believe then as a country, we are simply wasting our time. Let me throw those numbers out there really quick. I'll get Reuben to chime in and then Charlotte Green's view on this issue, as she's done some research and she said she was a taken back. And so let me throw those numbers out to you. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Ireland, 300-5720, or you can text us at 422-4796. Reuben Ramming, Marital rape. How does it speak to you?
Marital rape is a personal issue. On District Isle, I came here to join in with the women to hear their comment on it because it's become an interesting political thing. For me personally, it's a non-existing thing, the same way rape is non-existing to me personally. The problem with it is existing with other people. It's not on my mind. I grew up with my daughters on my chest.
Your daughters?
My daughters on my chest. And they grown now. They hurt when they land on my chest because there ain't no babies no more. But there's a fatherly joy when, you know, I'm home and I could tell when my daughters aren't having a good day. I'll be sitting in my bed, right, with my laptop working, right? They just walk in, move my laptop to the side, and just lay right on top of me. Mm. And my wife would just look right at me, and she know, don't go there, because that's daddy. And they would sit there, lay right there, and then they get up and go. And would you believe it or not, whatever that was met a need, because they always grew up knowing that they have an intimate, safe space with me. And, you know, this, sure, there's some idiots out there who can screw anything. Mm. But that's precious. From the time one of my daughters was preemie, two of my children was premature. And for some blessed reason, I have a photo of her when she was in an incubator. And her whole hand was around my pointer finger. That's how small she was. You know when you see in a photo of a father's hand and pointing into an incubator and the baby's hand around his finger and the whole hand wrapped around his finger. And man, that's a sacred thing.
Sacred.
It's such a sacred thing. I'm not even talking about getting to the act. I'm talking about getting to the thought. It's like how you get to the act in the first place. Mm-hmm. It just ain't there. And then let me speak colloquially as a Foxillian. Man, plenty of women out there, what you raping for? For everyone that says no, you could find 15 that want to say yes. It just ain't that critical. And then the next simple point is, and I've said this over and over, I even say it in the pulpit and everywhere else, that false love is rape. That's why God so loved the world that he died, but God ain't putting no gun to nobody's head to go to heaven.
Exactly.
He did everything he can. It's so easy that all you got to say, God, I won't go. And he said, I got you. I'll cleanse you for sin. I'll pardon you. I'll scrape your record clean. And then I'll protect you and keep you from sin. Then I'll give you the Holy Spirit and guarantee you can make it into heaven. Mm-hmm. And even if you fall, I still got you. But then there's some out there who simply say no. And God say, I care not for you to die. But I'm not going to use my power to force you to come to heaven. You got to understand, God care for no one to die. Yet broad is the way that leads to destruction. God don't like that. Mm-hmm. But God respects free will. Free will is our greatest source of power.
Well,
free will is our identity as human beings, the ability to think, to accept, and to reject. And the greatest respect you should have is not yes, ma'am, no, sir, is to respect somebody's free will. And so fundamentally, for me, even when I hear it, and I know you hear things that need to be addressed, but for me personally, it's like, how we get here in the first place? Because it should not be.
Well, it says here in the text message, Charlotte, if any woman feel like a man who she walked down the aisle with, who is her husband, and in the covenant and sight of God, then don't get married. Sex in a marriage is lawful between husband and wife. Physical abuse is a different conversation and is not okay in any arena. The Bible speaks to that. If there is a case of infidelity, and either party wish not to be touched by their spouse, then a process for legal separation should take place, which should have guidelines for possible reconciliation, and if not, full divorce. No one should stay in a situation they're not happy in. What do you say?
Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas, and good afternoon to those that are tuning in via Facebook. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My response to that is I do agree with that. But when you're walking down the aisle, you're not walking down the aisle with the notion that this person is going to hurt me. And I like the real life example you used when you said, you know, your daughter, she comes and she lays on your chest. It's a safe place. It's a place where she can be vulnerable. When we walk down the aisle, we're walking down the aisle to someone.
You want another daddy.
Yeah. We're walking down the aisle to someone that we are safe with, that we feel vulnerable with, that he's our protector. So you would not know, but marriage is a sacred, when I say sacred and ancient thing, it's a institution created by God. So when we decide to divulge in something like that, we have to examine it properly without all of the emotional feelings. We have to look at it from the foundation in which God had actually created it for. Yes, your body and my body, we both belong to each other. But like you said, God is love, and love does not require the abuse. Love also is there. Love also represents choices. Love also represents choices. Now, I understand that there is evil everywhere, and so therefore there will also be evil in marriage. And therefore, there needs to be something set in place to protect both, not just the female, but both. Because let me tell you something, Garrett. Mm-hmm. Some women can be very vindictive. We are all sons and we are all daughters. Mm-hmm. Some women can be vindictive and some men can be extremely evil. Mm-hmm. Now, when we talk about marital rape or sexual assault by a spouse, again, it's a topic because sex comes as one of the natural human requirements within marriage. But when we talk about it being an assault or rape, how do we determine that rape was actually involved in a marriage versus someone who is not married and claiming that they were raped? Mm-hmm. In the event a wife accuses her husband of rape, how do we collect the evidence to determine that this man actually raped his wife when, you know, their DNA is locked in? Mm-hmm. But if we are not married and I go and claim that you raped me, we have evidence. There is evidence. This can be justified. She said, no, your DNA is in her. But I'm your wife. I said, no, I am your DNA. So I'm not saying, and I'm not taking it lightly. What I'm actually saying is, if the people at large in this country, and I'm not saying this doesn't exist, it exists. But if we are going to take this in consideration and put it in law for prosecution, and I think there is a law in place already for this, right?
They had something that they were drafting, and there are laws that speak to it. Yes, it does not come down in the marital context.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it does reach into it.
Okay, so help me with this now. So there is a section in the Sexual Offense Act, Section 15. Mm-hmm. We've discussed that before in the radio. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Section 15 of the Sexual Offenses Act, and I'm reading it right here, in the Bahamas, originally enacted under the Sexual Offenses and Domestic Violence Act, Chapter 99, deals with sexual assault by a spouse. Mm-hmm. So there is something in place. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this because I have to come back around to something right now.
Break it down.
There is actually something in place.
There is something.
Remember,
in place.
There are laws in this country that most of our laws are not being enforced. And because our laws are not being enforced, it opens up a whole can of worms, number one, and it makes it seem that there are no solutions to our issues. Mm-hmm. But the laws are there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it says any person who has sexually intercourse with his spouse without, it's right here, the spouse's consent is guilty of sexual assault by spouse if at the time one or more of the following conditions exist between them, mm-hmm. which is a decree nisi of divorce, a decree of judicial separation, mm-hmm. that means if the judge okay? A separation of agreement or a court order requiring the person not to molest or cohabit with spouse. So we have an act or law in place that covers these things.
While they are in those circumstances.
Yes, while they are in those circumstances.
And that's where the problem lies, why we said no. It can't. The intent of the advocacy for marital rape is not a rather, it's not, they're not satisfied that the law speaks to it in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
In those conditions where that speaks to, it speaks to it when you are already adjudicating a separation. So you are at a quasi state of this marriage being adjudicated for a point of separation or stay in the marriage. Then, in a sense like that, like a judicial review, it stays on conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Then your privilege of the marriage is stay.
Uh-huh.
So when you try to bring about your so-called marital privilege in a forcible way, then you are you be charged with assault, even though you are still technically married.
Mm-hmm.
So the issue is why the law doesn't speak to it directly. But there are ways in which it speaks to in other laws without even mentioning the marriage. It's the fact that me and you cool right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then for whatever reason, we ain't planning for no divorce. Nothing in there. We planning on going to Miami next week and everything else. For some reason, my hair trip and I sexually assault you in a violent manner, rape.
Mm-hmm.
Then the law does not speak to that because those clauses don't kick in. And that's where you get the issue that they want to strengthen. And then you have the problem of... I think a lot of people feel that it is an affront to marriage and the safety and security that you should have in marriage now. And then it leaves room for all those descriptions that you give of men and women who could be diabolical, deceptive, and dangerous to each other. So that's how that law pulls in.
Okay. So with the protection, we're talking about protection in marriage. Now, the comment you read... If you need protection in marriage, then you need a divorce.
You need a divorce?
That is, yes.
Well, let me throw this number out.
I do not believe in divorce, but...
You don't believe in that?
No, I don't believe in it. But in a situation like that, that diabolical evil stance, oh, hell yes.
Let me take this caller. Caller, go ahead.
Brother Burris.
Hey, what's happening, my brother?
Hey, everything good. Boy, you have two good people on that radio today. You have one of my first-time boss.
But, you know,
poisoner, Mr. Ruben Robin.
I can tell
drive
you.
Drive him years ago.
I know I deserve to be spiked.
I heard her on their convention thing last night. She songs Little Focus.
A Little Sonic, Focus.
She, you know, she's focused. But the motto thing, she said something just now to me, to the public. You need protection if you're being mistreated in the marriage.
Okay.
But if you get married to be protected by the person that you're married to, I was married for about 18 years before my wife died. And if it got to the point where I had to harass my wife for sex, I don't think we need to be together. A marriage is made up. Sex is about 80% of a marriage. 80% of a marriage. Now, y'all could
disagree. For you, it's 80%.
However you want to put it, it's about 80% of a marriage.
You.
And if you have to force somebody to make love or to have sex, you don't have to be that person.
So
you're getting yourself in trouble.
But going back to your base now, you're saying to me that a marriage consists of 80% of sex?
Yeah, talking all of that? About
you want all of that? I mean, 80% of your marriage is sex. Ain't no washing dishes in there, no cleaning the car.
Listen to me, sir.
It's just sex? 80% of sex?
About 80% of a marriage. I talk about them young marriage. I ain't talking about them old people like me and you now. I talk about them young marriage. 80% of that is made up of making love and sex. Because don't forget now, they ain't got no children yet. They trying to build a family. Every time that woman look at that man, if he's treating that house right and doing that house right, he shouldn't have a problem.
So you saying...
But you have a lot of fellas, them, they work all week.
Okay.
They ain't carry a dollar home. and want to ride a woman she ain't come.
So let me ask.
Again, I know the cook, you know.
Let me ask you a question then. At what point then, a young marriage, if a young marriage is 80% sexually, right? 80% sexual. When does that 80% diminish, and to what number does that diminish to? From 80% to
what age? But, let me tell you something. After when two children?
Yeah.
That ain't no more every night thing.
Well, that is.
That can be like maybe twice a week. See, and then you plant your time. Especially when you have young children.
But twice a week
ain't
good.
You plant your time with your significant other.
Twice a week ain't
good. Then the wife plants the time. The husband, you plant your time. Because the family now is there. It ain't just no more me and you now. We have a family now. We have to plant our time.
So, okay, let me ask you this. If 80% is when you're younger.
And yeah, when you're still in the
now
family.
You're telling me you have two children.
See?
So now it goes to twice a week. You're telling me then that is twice a week sufficient or not sufficient?
You see, you have to make it. If you have a plan for your marriage, you're going to make twice a week work.
So what if she says...
If you have plans for something else...
What if she says she only wants it once a week and you want it twice a week?
Okay, well, if she wants it once a week and you could sit down and come to an agreement. See, that's all it is, you know, coming to an agreement.
Okay, so let's come to the agreement of twice a month.
If the wife say twice a month,
start
because
the stammer.
She get the children, she got out of school work, she trying to enhance her career, she's trying to do... See, you have to be reasonable about it.
Okay, what about once every 2 months?
Boy, listen to me. Sometime with the right person,
uh-huh.
That one for every 2 months,
uh-huh.
You can live with that because you pray for that 2 months to come.
Okay, so what about twice a year?
But let me tell you this in closing because you're trying to trick me.
No, I'm trying to trick you. I'm trying to get a definition.
No, you got to know your significant other.
Yeah.
See, I'm speaking from my experience. I've learned my wife. The minute I get off from work and I open my front door, I could almost tell you what type of mood she is. Okay? Simple as by through the week. Would she cook sometime? I could tell you she in a romantic mood or what type. See, you have to know your partner.
So is there ever a time you really, really needed it and she didn't want it and you thought you should deservingly have it?
Yes.
And what did you do?
Nothing. What I got to do?
All right. So you have the natural boundaries that every man
I can
should
do
have.
Nothing because she said no. Sometimes you have some women just push their husband away.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my! How your head could be hurting every day for 7 days. You got something got to be wrong with your head.
Now you all have to have a conversation. She's probably just trying to
that's what
avoid
I'm
him.
So when you start saying that, then you know something is wrong. Something going down here.
Well, thanks a lot, Carla. You sound good. Yeah, man. So what you saying now, Charlotte? a woman can't have a headache for 7 days a week.
Well, actually, if you Google it, you'll find out one of the cures for the headache is a good orgasm. The thing about it
but
is...
But then
that
means you ain't got no Jesus in you.
That did eat what?
Yeah, that's what they can tell you. I mean, these women go to church 7 days a week.
You have a headache, you can take an aspirin, or you can have an orgasm. My point is, the situation transcends. And then you have medical issues where it may really be a migraine, but again, those things actually still helps. We need to be careful when we begin to prescribe things into marital relationships, and I think this is what speaks to the root cause of the issue with the marital rape. I think it hard to believe, and I believe this is accurate, that the vast majority of people appall, rejects even the concept of marital rape. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It happens, but we could never project that on the majority of people. And then we should never try to guilt trip people saying, oh, because you say you won't support it, that means you're for it. No, it's unfathomable because there are many of us who see marriage for what it actually is. Marriage is a very splendid thing, and obviously if you're married in your 20s, when you reach in the 40s, everything begins to change because the men are hot in their 20s and the women get hotter in their 30s and the men start working. God has a funny way of dealing with things. And then we must understand the covenant of marriage itself, you know, before we even get into it, God said in the scripture saying that, listen, it's better to marry than to burn. We're talking with persons who would have triggered those natural hormones inside their body. And when you open that door, it's hard to close that door back. It's a fact because it's a sex and the desire for sex is a natural thing. It's just like a mother and a child bonding when a child is being breastfed or in the heart of the mother, those endorphins are released that cause bonding. So sex is not just for a release, it's a form of bonding and bringing together in oneness, not just physically, but also intimately. And that's why when sex becomes violent, unless that's just both of y'all thing, that's both of y'all thing. If y'all agree, even in court, if two people agree, ain't no matter to go to court. Mm-hmm. So our thing is we need to break up some furniture and swing on the chandelier, and that's how we agree. Mm-hmm. Guess what? That's how it is. But the Bible also said, defraud ye not one another. So it speaks to the covenant in that both must make the sacrificial effort. And sacrificial is two-way. Because your wife could be sacrificed and say, honey, I'll cover this bill for you. Say, baby, I really appreciate it. But you know what? You take care of things. Yeah, I'm going to do it. The same way the wife could say, I'm not in the mood. But you know what, honey, if you want to, I got you. And you look at her eyes and you say, honey, I can see you're really, really tired. Mm-hmm. Let's see how tomorrow goes. You catch what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She's sacrificing for you. You're sacrificing for her. That's the benefit of love. When one is given, the other one is given. And when one wants to do something for that one, no, baby, I'll do this just for you. And the father and the husband looking at you say, baby, I can see you tired. I'm just so glad to know you're willing, but you know what? I want you to enjoy this too. Hey, let's look at this tomorrow. Sacrifice is a two-way street, mm-hmm. but you're not supposed to defraud each other. So what we're getting against in the public with this is that the Bahamas don't appreciate that, the rape of any kind. Yeah. And we see now it's spiraling down to a point where children aren't safe for their fathers and mothers as well, because we have cases where
yes.
women raping young boys.
Yes.
That ain't nothing new.
Okay.
All right?
I'm listening.
But we adhere that in our core. And so when we have the issues of marital rape coming up and it's not done in a way that could navigate those interesting vicissitudes to provide the protection without ostracizing and possibly labeling and possibly putting in the marital scheme another impediment. Because some people marry you for your money just to divorce you to get half. Yes.
We know this.
We talk about that in the car.
Yeah.
Or if somebody suddenly meets a nice handsome fella like God and then comes in, now I guess, yeah, I can get rid of Ruben. You know what? Let me put him in jail so I could just do this and me and you go live in the house forevermore.
It happens.
So how do we do this without infringing on what is right in marriage? And I think even the approaches to addressing the legislation isn't there. So we need to find a way how we could protect those who are involved with that. And I think, Ms. Green, you said it so well, and allow me to paraphrase it, maybe just elaborate on it a bit more. Because when you marry a person, you go up the aisle, a lot of people don't go to counseling, and even counseling miss it many times. People putting on a facade of what they want to project. And then later on, you find out the beast within.
Mm.
Or the beast within may only be triggered when he's drinking.
Mm.
Or later on with some drugs or influenced by other people. So the man you thought or the woman you married, you see what I'm saying, end up being a whole different creature relating to you. And so the final thing is the cultural element.
Uh-huh.
In some society, it is accepted. And some Muslim society, some places in the Middle East, I mean, some African society with genital mutilation, et cetera, whereas you even ain't supposed to enjoy sex. So, frankly, if you diminish a woman to enjoy sex, even her giving it to you is a form of rape. Because you getting pleasure, but it's a one-sided kind of thing. So that's genital mutilations. We have where persons are forced to marry people who they don't even know. Young women forced to marry older men, mm-hmm. et cetera, and in these societies. So also when you come in with this, you must properly judge us culturally. Because in some instances, when you put a law on the people, you are labeling something against the people what the people reject culturally.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? So we got to be careful what you're saying about me with this legislation. You try to say these a bunch of people and they're so bad, we raping. But it does exist. So we find a way how we can protect those who have been afflicted. You see what I'm saying? Without destroying the whole institution. Right now, police force is going through all kinds of issues with corruptions and everything else. Anybody say shut down the whole force? You're trying to find a way how you could save the force with this motto saying what it says, integrity and courage and stuff. Mm-hmm. You're trying to save that, but you're trying to get rid of the bad apples. So when you put a blatant stigma out there and say you're justifying it, this is where the problem comes in. And you know that even now, the vast majority of Bahamian women still don't support that.
Well, we had a political leader, Charlotte Green, that mentioned that marital rape is something that could be criminalized What's your feel on that? I know you didn't finish your last point, but you can go ahead and then you can just go ahead and inform us as to the whole idea of criminal accusation.
Well, I don't want to look at it from a political standpoint at this moment.
Okay.
Because this, we have so many other issues that are happening in this country that are real, and I'm not saying that this situation is not real. What I am saying is, if this is deemed an issue in our country, we need to sit down to the table to see how we are going to criminalize the matter of marital rape in a marriage without destroying the institution of marriage.
Mm-hmm. That's because, what we're gonna
say. Yes. Now, obviously, if there is marital rape or spousal abuse.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a situation none of us would want our daughters in, our loved ones in. So I say divorce. But we're looking at putting something like this possibly in law to criminalize it. It's tricky because if you have to criminalize it, mm-hmm. then that situation, that marriage should not exist.
Mm-hmm.
But if something like that happens in marriage and the one of the spouse decides that they want justice, we have to determine how we are going to prosecute this situation because it comes down to evidence. I can't swab a wife. You cannot swab a wife for DNA of rape.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because this is what you're going to need. Whenever someone is raped, the first thing we do is swab.
Yeah.
The mouth, the private regional areas.
Yes,
so
yes.
When we go to court, how do we then determine this is rape? And then in a marriage, it comes down to if there is no physical, marking or evidence, then it comes down to you say and I say.
Yes.
And again, I say this to you. We have sons and daughters out there who are married.
Yes.
We have vengeful persons.
Yes.
When some of us are hurt, just little emotionally. Some women go to the extreme. Some men go to the extreme. I'm talking about marriage, not boyfriend and girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people can be vindictive. Again, I am not saying it does not happen, but how do we determine as a society
mm-hmm.
without putting the stigma on the entire institution of marriage
mm-hmm.
that this was rape?
Let me see if I can
we
make a caller.
Evidence. Now, boyfriend and girlfriend,
uh-huh.
that's different.
You're quite correct. Let me take this caller quickly. Go ahead, caller. Caller, go ahead. Caller, go ahead.
Yes, how you doing? God, Sheldon Johnson, and to your guests in the studio, to your guests. Just let me say, right, we seem to have complicated this very simple issue, which basically make me question the agenda of what is seeking to be done.
Yes.
Let's put 2 points on the table. The church, the collective, has an issue with giving what is called divorce and these other different things, right? Then what we have is we have an archaic marriage law that goes back over 100 years that hasn't been updated to reflect the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
Your female guest in there.
That's Miss Charlotte Green.
Uses the word marriage
mm-hmm.
and married interchangeably.
Mm-hmm.
They are similar in it, but different in its definition.
Make it plain. Let me hear you.
Yeah. One, you're married, process. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then this other one, you name marriage. And so this concept that he says about this thing about possible and you're negotiating with your wife and stuff, that becomes a non-issue in a marriage. It's part of the process. Problem is when the marriage has broken down, the people are still married and oftentimes living in the same house. The problem is we have a law that addresses marriage as this contract and this protection of exchange of property, whatever definition you want to use. The problem is we have nothing to allow a separation of those rights and privileges when the marriage is broken, but you're still married. So you, a man or woman, don't come home in a marriage and say, you know what? I think I'm going to rape my wife. See, and this argument that those support marital rape say, oh, he come home drunk or he may have disease, all these things becomes non-issue. today saying that he's married, but he's not in a marriage. So I say this, a simple solution. Why don't we pass a law for legal separation, which severs the obligation of that thing for sex and these tools and whatever else, but and it moves you towards two things. Now, here's what the church could do. You now, I am married. My wife serves on me in legal separation. Now there is no expectation of that exchange
privilege
between us, mm-hmm. okay? Because to make that argument that it'll still exist, it's like saying, if I have a female roommate, so my wife can't move, that I will rape the female roommate. So it becomes mute. Because so now that you have a legal separation, both of you now know that you have no obligations. But guess what it does? Remember we say, well, now it eliminates the concept that you say, oh, if I, as a man, go find me my sexual gratification someplace else, now it will not be used against me as part of the divorce of stepping out. And if the church has the power, they say, to reconcile this relationship, during that period of legal separation for until we move to divorce or reconciliation, the church can step in and rebuild what is necessary. But pass this simple law that severs the obligation of marriage, except for other legal contracts such as mortgages, this and all those other different things, where she has no expectation of me to consummate the marriage, and he has, and I have no expectation of her, and violating that legal separation puts me in as the same as raping my roommate. And that's it. We can move on to more pressing issues in these countries rather than an agendized argument mm-hmm. concerning we want this thing called marital rape when they're not in, they are married, but they are not in a marriage. Let's stop the foolishness and let's fix this.
All righty. Thanks a lot to you, Alan. Good call. You got a text here that says, I don't understand why Ms. Green is making this such a complicated matter as if other countries have not addressed the issue. There are very few countries in the entire world that have these laws still. We are smart enough to figure it out. Pass the law, make it illegal.
Well, I am not complicating the matter mm-hmm. at all. There is an act there, and it, like I said, it states Section 55 of the Sexual Offenses Act. It is present. All we have to do is enforce it. But the problem comes in. Mm-hmm. They want to criminalize this. Mm-hmm. They want to criminalize this. My thing is, it is difficult to criminalize sexual assault in marriage. Mm-hmm. It is difficult because crimes are based on evidence.
Evidence. And the evidence is very difficult to prove.
That's like, Garth, you're saying you had a house break-in and they're doing investigations in your house and mm-hmm. the only prints they're finding is yours. That's your house.
And that's a good analogy. The other texter says, good afternoon, Garth. Once again, great show. I understand that your guests are focusing on women being raped. What about the men? Where can they go to heal or be taken seriously? Some men may not be interested in women, but decided to marry to stay in the closet.
And Reuben Rabbit. Then that ain't married in the first place because you did something under false pretenses. But I think the person who texted is very, very, very sharp because that is very prevalent in our society today now. This download thing is far beyond what you can imagine. In many instances, you get to the point where as women find themselves with vaginal infections and everything else, realizing at the end of the day, the fella double-dipping in men and want to come home and dip into them.
Mm-hmm.
There have been many women who've been seeking husbands and everything else, and here we have the same issue with false pretenders, and this person just want to find a way either to get a job, run in politics, or do something or whatever else, and they need to paint their image. And so they end up starting to date these women who they know they have no real intentions with and do. And the difference between them and probably Garth, who when he goes out to hang out with the fellas for football, he goes out to hang out with the fellas for football, the wife ain't suspecting nothing because my man ain't hanging out with no woman. He always just hanging out with his friend Butch.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, what so happens is you find that. So in a sense like that, that wasn't a marriage in the first first instance, because, well, first of all, for me, it's not between... it's under false pretenses.
Based on your spiritual understanding.
No, based on a fact, man. You can't come say you want to marry a woman, and in the process of married, even though you may not always be guaranteed kids, you seek for that, you seek for companionship, and you seek to share each other in the bonds of your sexual intimacy and everything else. But you ain't interested in women, but you also interested in men. Okay. That's really, really false. And vice versa for women as well.
Let me take another caller here quickly. Caller, go ahead. See ya. Caller, you on the line, go ahead. Caller, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you doing? It's Jeff.
Yes, it is. Charlotte, good afternoon, and good afternoon to your guests in the studio.
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
You know, this conversation, no matter how much we discuss it, you know, it really, because of the sensitivity of trying to be diplomatically correct in approaching this matter and trying to be sensitive at the same time, you know, it's kind of difficult at times. Charlotte, what you have done is actually opened the doorway to many persons who are unaware that there are existing laws on the books that addresses this matter already. Marital rape, to a lot of us, simply is ludicrous, because as far as the Word of God is concerned, there's no specific reference to anything pertaining to marital rape. Now, as you so rightfully said, and this is the part that I'm getting at, according to the legislation that we have in this country already, there are already grounds for a person being protected by law against their husbands who would have done something untoward. And you're so right, because if there's conjugal rights between husband and wife, and a wife can easily just jump up and say, my husband raped me, I mean, like you said, where is the evidence of that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why is this that push to legislate to, apparently, I think that the end game here is to incarcerate the men for the allegations put against them, and instead of, you know, two persons who apparently live in one house together who's not having sexual relations. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, that marriage, chances are, two to one has been over quite a long time. You know, so why be together? We always says that the laws, because many of our laws have not been visited for quite some time, there's been some movement to change some things in law, but still it is not going far enough to provide legal separation, the process into really, making a divorce, even though I too am not a proponent of divorce. But when two persons can't see eye to eye and living under the same roof, there seems to be no true loving relationship between the two of them. It's basically more like, we only existing in this one single place where there's no love involved. Then why should we be in the same house? You know, if one partner moves out of the house and move into their own place, and that partner, especially if it's a legal separation, I just see the basis that the courts then can make a ruling that this person has violated perhaps a court order. But to say two persons living under the same roof, sleeping in the same bed, roll over, perhaps he or she, because there are now cases coming up where the men are questioning where's their protection. I mean, when are we going to end this nonsense? You know, the law's already on the books. All it basically means is that if there's sufficient evidence for one partner to pursue a case against their partner, their spouse, according to what's on the books now, why is it that we are not utilizing them? Why is it that those laws aren't enforced? Why is it that we need to introduce a new law when a new law is not even necessary, because all the criteria is already there in law?
Well, thanks a lot, Jeff. That was a very good call. We have some text here that C. Allen is on the money, simple. And then someone says, C. Allen, Siri, in my view, is a perfect solution. Excellent contribution as usual for C. Allen. Seattle, boy, you got some fans out there. It says, Scott, I like Seattle's points. I am a big proponent of having a sex clause in marriage. Some women love a sexless marriage. I want you all to pay attention to that. That's an interesting comment here. Let me repeat that again. I'm a big proponent of having a sex clause in marriage. Some women love a sexless marriage after they say, I do. I think this should be classified as abandonment once the sex leaves the marriage.
It really is.
Another texter says, can you explain what C. Allen Johnson said as I wasn't paying full attention? Is passing a law to allow what he says be the simple solution? I will also seek to listen to the repeat. Why are we glossing over what Allen said? Please go back to it. Well, the sex clause thing, and then see, Alan, if you want to repeat your statement again, I'll allow you just a 2 minute statement from you again. The person wants to hear your voice. But what do you think about the sex clause thing? Let me start with Ruben. You know, the men always, they look at marriage and be looking to have sex with this woman for the rest of our life, and the woman may just be wanting security. Would you like and appreciate a sex clause, Ruben Remy?
The sad thing about it, marriage is a sex clause in and of itself. I mean, first of all, with this point with the law and existing law, it is the nature of the existing law why we have those who are advocating for it to be a marital rape bill.
Mm.
Because they're not satisfied with the law, but does not speak to marital rape. It speaks to look at this as a point of purgatory between marriage and divorce. Between marriage and divorce, that's what that bill speaks to. So in other words, the law tacitly acknowledges you can't have rape within marriage, but if you are married to a person and then you begin to initiate the process of separation, you're still married. You're still Miss Smith. Once you do that, if that man comes at you, whatever else, you get sexual assault charges, you could go against him, everything else, and so on and so forth, because you've already either applied or you've already separated or the process of separating.
Yes.
So there's no marital rape. You're all cool now, and this is probably why some people look at it and say, well, why is that necessary? Because if everything cool and you don't signal that there's a problem, you know, what is the problem? So almost in this sense, the marital rape concept is almost one strike you out. And so the instance any one of the parties feel that they would have been forced or coerced into having sex, male or female, they can go straight to police charge, go straight into criminal charges when you are in a relationship, whereas I supposed to expect this from you.
That's a great
because
observation.
The Bible says, defraud not each other.
That's a great observation.
We agree that we're supposed to be there for each other no matter what. So anybody can be misunderstanding, and the first action is charged with marital rape instead of the first action being, and this is where it gets songs a little sloppy. Okay, you think it's rape then? Okay then. Since your mind's sticking on that, the first thing we do, separate. Because then that means I have no entitlement for you. Now, once we would have separated, the new lines have been drawn. Because the marital lines is, that's mine, and I's yours. My thing is yours, your thing is mine. That was the first line. Now there's a problem, and you say it's rape. So the first line that kicks in now is, bam, we remove that privilege, and if you all cross that line again, now it's criminal. That already exists right now.
It does exist.
You see?
It does exist.
People,
yes, it exists. Section 15 of the Sexual
But it does not
offenses.
Exist as a marital rape that they're trying to push. That's why I said the marital rape, there's no law for marital rape. They're trying to say, first time me and your wife get married, and trust me, it can happen plenty of time. Actually, most babies come to make up sex.
Mm.
So I don't need to get into how things
so
are with marriage sometimes.
You want to say
you know? So we need to be careful. So C. Allen is saying what I think we had been saying, but see, we're trying to explain it, breaking down to the point of people understand. Marriage itself gives you these rights and these privileges in itself. However, in the process of being married, you see, and things begin to break down, where is your way of escape?
Mm.
And actually, even with girlfriend and boyfriend, rape is hard to do, regardless of it, because you're all in a consensual relationship living together. And the final point is this. The other difficulty with that issue is across borders. All right, so we separated, but we in the same house. You're still walking around in your boy shorts. I still walk around my desk. We still in this kind of thing. We locked in this environment. And so you still have an environment where as persons who have disagreements are still in close proximity with each other. And signals could be mixed. It's just really convoluted.
We need to find a way to address where it does happen legitimately, but we cannot stigmatize marriage.
Yes.
Let me take this caller really quick here, Charlotte. Go ahead, caller. I think we lost that caller. Go ahead, Charlotte.
Okay, so we have to also be careful with the word, the playing of words. The playing of words. We spoke, and this is an example. We spoke about the Royal Bahamas Police Force and how there are a few bad apples. Mm-hmm. And we want to fix that without destroying the whole institution. Mm-hmm. The marital institution was created by God. There are plenty bad apples around as it relates to marriage. Mm-hmm. So we are looking at sexual assault by a spouse in a marriage, mm-hmm. instead of labeling it as marital rape. Now, I like the example that you used. In a marriage, if you are raped, there is a Section 15 of the Sexual Offense Act. Mm-hmm. And you can go and apply for separation, nisi of divorce, like C. Allen said, judicial separation or separation of agreement while we work on this process. Because who knows? You and your husband might decide y'all want to get back together. It might have been a misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not saying that rape doesn't exist in marriage. Sure. Rape can happen. But if you are being consistently raped, that's sexual assault, and there is a law in place for that. Mm-hmm. Instead mm-hmm. of demonizing the whole institution, again, we have the laws on the book. Now, this marital rape situation, like any other criminalized situation we have in this country, we have the laws to address these things. And we have so many issues going on in this country. I mean, issues that are impacting the entire nation.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
entire nation. And they are yet to be addressed. Mm-hmm. This is a law that's already on the book. We need to enforce the law so that these things won't be an issue. But if we're not enforcing what is already there, then we will have problems. But I do believe, again, I'm not diminishing the fact that it doesn't exist. It exists.
Yes.
But
it is what it is.
We have to address it in a way where we don't destroy the institution.
Institution. Let me take a quick call. Caller, go ahead, please.
Yes, good afternoon.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Green. I'm just going to say this from a political point of view, okay? You could imagine a country that everyone is benefiting from the natural resources, that every Bahamian is getting stipend.
This isn't for natural resources, though.
No, I'm putting it into the marital rape stuff.
What does natural resources have to do with the rape?
Like I said, you could imagine a country that everyone is benefiting from the natural resources. Everybody is happy, okay? You wouldn't even have time to be even worrying about nobody raping anybody, because everybody will be happy.
I'm gonna challenge you on that one, but I appreciate your call, my brother. I'm gonna challenge you on that.
Yeah.
Because you see, for men, and I'm gonna say this for men, and Michelle Green, all due respect to you as a female, when a man is at a point of satisfaction and he's having what they call an orgasm, there's nothing on God's earth that's gonna stop that from taking place at this moment. You could offer him $1 billion. You could offer him all the natural resources in China, in Europe, and in Africa. That doesn't need to come out now, eh? Just give me one more minute. It could be okay. So I don't want to go down that road with him. I don't think that has any merit. Let me take another caller, please. Caller, please. Next caller, please. Let's call on the line. Caller, go ahead. Next caller, please. Caller, go ahead.
Hello?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Well, good to hear your voice.
Thank you. I would like for Miss Green to explain what she means when she says that you are being consistently raped in a marriage. She used that term, consistently rape.
Okay. You want to know what it means to be consistently raped?
She used the term consistently.
You want to break that down?
Yes.
If she is saying that in a married situation, mm-hmm. there cannot be rape. Then, on the other hand, she used the term, you are being consistently raped. My question is, can there be rape in a marriage when two people go to the altar and they agree to consent?
So are we talking then about rape, and then we're talking about abuse, physical abuse?
Yeah, you have to differentiate the two. And you must, if you're talking about rape, then you cannot be saying physical abuse. You know, the two must be different.
Is that possible, Ruben? Just answering the caller. Thank you so much, love.
What, rape great and call. Physical abuse?
Yeah. could you have a bill that actually addresses both of them in one sentence, or is that like separate phrases? How do you see that, Charlotte? Go ahead, Ruben.
Rape and physical abuse. People gotta.
Should it be a criminal? Should it be a criminal act?
No. I think what she's asking is such a wide thing, and I don't think the show will have enough time to delve in it, because you gotta understand the psyche of human beings and everything else. See, we've gotten to this point that many times we look at so many things in life as black and white, and many times we devoid it of God to say we're making it simple and palatable for everything else. But the Bible says something about, as a man thinketh, so is he. Is he means that your thinking impacts your physicality, mm-hmm. and who you are actually on the outside as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what people don't realize it is that the rape is one thing, but boy, some verbal abuse you put on women are shattering women, causing them to, and even men and children, causing them to lose their mind. I'm literally talking yeah. about somebody walking down the street, stripped butt naked, because they leave it. Committing suicide.
We've seen that.
And so when it comes down to abuse, it's even just more than just physical in that regard. You can actually have a lady who, let's as an example, who would lay down and allow you to make love to her, to have sex with her.
Mm-hmm.
You got the same lady who lay down and let you have sex with her. One is completely abused and shattered and destroyed, and one is willing, consensual, and is happy and blissful. Why? Because you shame this woman. You do this woman, and she reached to the point that her coping mechanism is just to lay down and let you just do what you got to do. How do we say? For peace sake.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very sensitive thing. And I mean, the truth of it is we really got to learn how to love and appreciate each other, treat people like the way we expect to be treated. And then I totally disagree with you. Maybe I'm just a totally different man, because mm-hmm. I've been there, done that, have enough kids and everything else in that regard, brother. There's no state of arousal or level towards ejaculation that I ain't prepared to stop. If your eye look crooked, I stop it.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
So
maybe because within my core, I believe that forced love is rape.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I believe... First of all, you don't play with nobody's head. But for me, brother, if I smell you ain't there, I ain't there.
Well, I agree with that.
You know, because I, for me, and uses against me, if you ever hear something come up in court, I sure ain't it never come up in court. I believe that there's no excuse.
I said that
I can't stop no more.
I'm talking about in the spirit of marital bliss. Once you're in a blissful situation, of course, it's no stopping. But let me take this text. I got the phones with it, but let me take this text right real quick. Being married but not in a marriage is a novel concept. Never considered this. Another aspect of legal separation, severing the obligations of being married, making them essentially simply friends until divorce decree is granted. Legal separation creates the legal protection from sexual assault from a person you are married to, but not in a marriage. Caller, go ahead. Yeah, on the line, please.
That's what I said.
Good day, God. How you doing?
Go ahead, my friend.
Yes. You know, from the day I was hearing about this marriage thing, I always used to say, it'll be better the government pass a law where in a marriage that you could go and get temporary separation from sex within the marriage. You understand, to protect yourself. Because if I have to rape my wife, the marriage is over. If she have to rape her husband, the marriage is over. Now, people under the cloth who save and in church and all that, they don't know, well, you know, it don't be no divorce in our Christian lives. So at least you all have a chance to wake it up. So if I was the judge, I would say, okay, temporary separation from sex for 1 year. See if y'all can wake it up. Come back to me. If 1 year come, you get 2 years max. After 2 years, then the divorce have to go through. Because some people just don't want to leave. They have so much tie up in the marriage, house, this, all of that. So, you know what I mean? I would say, man, temporary separation from sex. You let the couple know. Now, listen, y'all can't have no sex. Don't let this woman fool you and talk about having sex and this and that. And she sets you up and you lose everything. You go into jail. The judge doesn't step in. So that means it. Don't let one another sweet talk one another because I might be trying to set you up as a woman.
That's for the
you,
fair.
One for you to come on to me, put your semen in me and everything and all that. And then what women need to do, if you separate it and the man come to rape you, you know you got to defend yourself, show some defensive mark on him, grab him up. So when you go to the police, they can say, all right, you all grab up. So obviously this woman, where you get grabbed up from?
Boy,
you know what I mean? That's the best thing I see.
You could become graphic, but you don't leave nothing on the table.
Yeah, but thanks so much, caller. Ask him this quick question.
You want to ask a quick question?
So when somebody by the court who is sent to drug rehab because they have been arrested using cocaine, everything else, and drugs, send them to drug rehab. Where they send them? They send them to Sandlins, right? They don't send them back home and say, okay, I send you with a letter saying don't use drugs no more. Uh-huh. Sex is an intoxicating thing. It's one of the strongest drive in the natural world. That's animals fly thousands of miles, fight to the death for sex, and so it's built into us. Though we're human, we have greater control over it. The reality is, again, here do we come to a point now? The judge can say, okay, I've given you a piece of paper, say y'all two can still stay in the same house, share in the same bedroom, same bathroom, same everything else, so on and so forth, and you can't touch each other.
That's no, you can't them, be in the that, same bedroom.
That, see, so that's what I'm saying. So, bedroom. I mean, so at the end of the day, what I'm simply saying is we need to think more holistically about this whole thing in that regard. And I think one of the simplest thing is this: near two can't walk together unless they agree. God does not like divorce. The same way he don't like you going to hell, but he ain't stopping you, right? That's right. Why he allowed Moses to give a bill of divorcement, because it was necessitated by people. And then we as Christendom got to realize marriage is not just a Christian thing. Sinners get married too. So unbelievers get married too. And so people get married and they have different operations and different obligations.
Okay, Robin, let me take
I appreciate you, man.
But let me take another call quickly because we're running out of time. Go ahead, next caller. Caller, go ahead.
Yes. Give me 90 seconds, right?
90 seconds. Go ahead.
I sent you this text. You don't have to read it. It says you can be raped by your husband while being married. Husband or wife, but not in marriage. If you remove peas from the recipe for peas and rice, is it still peas and rice? It is not. Marriage is peas and rice, right? Marriage is peas and rice. Being married still is the removal of the peas. And the point that Marvin made in the call is the same thing I'm saying. This concept that marriage is forever, it's a fallacy, even in the Bahamas with 50% divorce. So here's what it is. So you don't have to be any skewed, because we're saying what marriage implies. I'm saying create a law before, when the marriage is broken down or being broken down, two adults is conscious. I don't believe that this animal instinct creates you because you have a document you will rape someone in a marriage. So when you go and you get this legal divorce, take 24 hours, you go and file for legal separation. Upon being served upon the husband or the wife, it gives acknowledgement that the right for sexual intercourse has been severed, though you have legal obligation maybe from the banks and other different things. The issue of safety and the same house and all these other different things is the same. But you are well aware upon being served by law, you have no right to conjugal in type environment.
Yes, I like it.
So what it says then, you are still married while the details is made for divorce. But the right of conjugal interaction has been severed. And so, and the person then knows, even if I remain in the house because I can't move, and the argument that the activists make is that the woman has no place to move and we don't have anything infrastructure in. That's the infrastructural failure. I'm saying, should you two decide to live together, or the man decides to move out or the woman decides to move out, it doesn't treat them with abandonment or going outside the marriage for sex or whatever that's used in divorce, because it consummates from that point of legal separation. The things that happened before is sealed. What happened after isn't. And if you touch that woman or you touch that man, you will be charged just as if, though, you rape your roommate or a stranger. This is not complicated.
Thanks a lot again, C. Allen. Someone says, sir, my question is, where did the need for the bill come from? No public outcry. Women don't even support it. The only persons making noise are the ones paid to push the issue. Why is the bill necessary? It is all a distraction from the more pressing, I think I'm going to say, let me see now. Boy, this is a long one. Garth, the more pressing issues and only leads to emotions and no solutions. So why this bill? Can it be only because of international protocol? If so, one cap does not fit all cultures and should not be forced. Also, we are left debating what people push on us rather than the things that affect us on a daily basis. Yes. We need to have self-determination. Listen, folks, I'm going to allow Ms. Charlotte Green to give all of her surmise of what we have spoken about today, her viewpoint, and then I want her to once again just reintroduce herself. She was a part of an event that took place last night, so I wanted her to get at least 2 minutes to even tell us how she felt about it, 2-3 minutes. That's how you felt last night. And then we're going to let Ruben Ramin close off and with a prayer.
Okay.
And then we're going to close the program. Go ahead, Michelle.
All right. Green. So before I get into that, and I'm going to speed talk real quick.
No, you got minutes. I just want you to use 2 minutes for your own self. I'm giving you two minutes of our remark show. I'm not going to take any more calls. But
okay.
Go ahead and summarize what we're discussing today.
All right.
And then lose your last 2 minutes. Instead of praying, just tell them how you felt last night and your prayer for the nation.
Yes.
You can put it in a sentence, and then Ruben Ramin will close the statement.
So again, I do agree with some of the comments that were coming in. Now, we have something on the book called sexual assault by spouse. There is nothing on the book that says marital rape. I feel like that is a sneaky term. Therefore, the sexual assault by the spouse, section 15, viewers, listeners, please look it up. It's section 15 of the Sexual Offenses Act.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bahamas, it's originally enacted under the Sexual Offenses and Domestic Violence Act, Chapter 1999, that deals with sexual assault by a spouse. And it provides, ladies and gentlemen, it provides a decree of nisi of divorce. It provides a decree of judicial separation. It provides a separation agreement or a court order requiring that persons not to be molested or cohabit with spouse. It's on the books. It's already there. All we need to do is empower ourselves through knowledge, understand the laws that are already there, and just advocate for these laws to be enforced. But it's already there. It's present. Now, the next question, it was our event. Ladies and gentlemen, I do believe that rape can happen. Rape can happen in marriage because no means no. But if you feel that you have or if you have been raped in your marriage, the first thing to do is reach out to the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Reach out to a church counselor. Reach out for help. Because there is something there to protect both spouses. Both spouses. But the law is on the book. Look it up. Section 15 of the Sexual Offenses Act, Chapter 99.
Very good.
Now, concerning our event that took place last night.
You're beaming with pride.
Yes, I am. You know, the organization has had an uphill climb, and we continue to do so. But one thing I can say that we are a determined set of people who want to see change in this country. And last night, March 1st, was a historic moment for us. We unveiled Vision 2030, and we released an additional 7 candidates. Vision 2030 is the blueprint to take this country in the direction that it has never been before. Remember, before Miles Monroe died, he said, depending on how we vote, we are either going to go 50 years back or 50 years forward. And we know, and I have to say this, we know that we are not going to go 50 years forward underneath a government that does not have a plan for the people. all visions, all plan must be set in place so we know where we're going, how we're going to get there, when we're going to get there. And Vision 2030 revealed all of that. We have plans for the elderly because all of us around this table one day will not be able to take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the way our country is going right now, our children are going to be too busy trying to take care of their families and financially strained that they won't be able to take care of us. So we need to put plans in place that is going to secure the lives of our elderly because we see when they get older, they're tossed in the corner. We have plans that are going to take care of our disabled. We have been leaving these people, our people, those citizens behind for far too long. Our culture is being diminished. So we have a plan, a vision for our culture in this country to strengthen the essence of who we are as a people because identity is very important.
It seems as if you all have so much things to say.
Yes.
I'm going to encourage you all to reach out to the Guardian management and staff to see how you all can be involved in Guardian Talk Radio here at 96.9 FM. I do believe you'll find a very fair platform. I've tried to create one here today. You sit as the chair lady for the Coalition of Independence. Robin Dunn Lines has actually made herself available to become the chair lady for the Progressive Liberal Party.
Awesome.
And right now, President Peggy Candace is a person who's acting like a chair lady. Mm-hmm. She's out there pushing her candidates, and I just want to give a special shout out to Philippa Kelly. They're in Central and South Illusory. You're still doing a fabulous job. I saw you all dressed in pink and looking lovely. Continue the good philanthropic work that you have in Illusory. Thank you so much, Ms. Charlotte Green, for being here with us today.
I just want to say one more thing, and I would like to thank all of our members, supporters, all of our viewers that tuned in to watch the event. Like I said,
it was a great showing.
Yeah, it was a huge turnout. We were overflowing. I mean, persons were sitting on the stairwells of the theater. They were standing up at the door. Everyone received the information. It was something new. It was refreshing to know that this is where we are, but this is actually where we can be as a country. It seems impossible, but nothing is impossible once we have vision and plan and a set of determined people to mm-hmm. make that happen no matter what. Dare to dream. The vision is there.
Well, you know, it's amazing, and I'm letting Ruben say his piece. I think I'm at the age, Ruben may be just a little older than I am. You look younger, but I think he's a little older. But his brother and I went to school together, actually, in St. Augustine's College. He's a very good friend of mine. But I just want to say this to you, Charlotte Green. When I look at the Bahamas, I see people.
Yes.
I see people who have potential. It doesn't matter to me what your favorite color is. It doesn't matter to me which geographical location you are in this country where you've come from. What matters to me is can we sit down, can we look at the issues, and can we find the solutions? That can only happen when we collaborate one with each other.
Yes.
If we put up walls and divisions before we even get to the table of negotiation, then this is why the country continues to go back. We have to exemplify the people of your age category, Peggy's age category, Robin's age category. So can you ladies sit down as women and figure this out? Because we as men, we need your help. In a marriage, Ruben Ramming, we need the female's help. We need to help with the children. We need to help with ourselves. You know, a lot of us men, we are a total wreck because we have not had the encouragement and the support of the women in our lives. And so I just want to commend you for the stand that you took as the chair lady of an organization here in the Bahamas that wants better. Whether you want to agree with this organization or not, the fact of the matter is that we have Bahamians who are intelligent enough, smart enough, and strong enough to take a stand, and I think that deserves a round of applause. Ruben Ramming.
Hey, I enjoyed the day, even though I was not supposed to be a guest. I was supposed to be the journey you're co-hosting, but it's been a pleasure meeting you, Ms. Green. And to everybody, you know, it's very simple to me. I'm a very simple man. Treat people the way you expect to be treated, for God's sake. All right? You want a good wife, be a good husband. You want a good husband, be a good wife. Respect his feelings as you respect your own. And Ms. Green with Joy Dynamics, I don't know if you have time, I'll let her close up with a blessing.
Yes. Quick prayer, 30 seconds.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this union here today, Father. Thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for the callers that called in, Lord. Lord, we ask that as we chart a new path in our country, Father God, lead us, Father God. We welcome the Holy Spirit over our country, Father God. We welcome the Holy Spirit in the gates of this country, Father God. Lift us up, Father God, so that we may glorify your name, Father God. Blessings. Hallelujah. We welcome you in the matchless name of Yeshua, I pray. Amen.
Hey, listen, thank you so much, Wally, on the board today. You, the Bahamian people calling, making it happen. Special thanks, like I said, to Robin Lines and to a good friend, Peggy Candace, who wasn't able to make it. But we'll meet you here again next week. We're still talking about the causes of cancer. We have a great show lined up for you. 5 p.m. next week, I'll meet you here. Have a good one, Bob.
By the laws of men. Oh, you may find me guilty, but prove my innocence. Oh, when the rain falls, all now, it will fall, and one man's house stop. Remember.